is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Glory to God. Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Of the same. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Jesus. You can call him in the morning. You can call him in the noonday. You can call him at the midnight. Oh, call his name. Oh, he's Jesus. Oh, he's Jesus. Our Redeemer. Oh, he's our healer. Oh, he's our strength. Blessed Savior, oh, he's worthy to be praised. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. Yeah, he's worthy. Hallelujah in this place. Give the Lord a hand and clap of praise. You know the Lord is worthy of your praise. Glory to God. Lord, have mercy. Glory. Glory. In all things, give him glory. Jesus, blessed say. I'll say glory, yeah, glory, in all things, I'll give you glory, Lord, Jesus, blessed Savior, too proud. I'm not too arrogant. I don't have an ego, cause you're worthy. I don't have a position, cause you're worthy. I'm grateful for this moment, so you're worthy. The breath I have, you gave it to me, so you're worthy.
And say, Lord, I need you. Oh, 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 Lord, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let the devil know you're gonna praise God anyway. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, oh.
Hallelujah.
Lord is the highest praise. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh.
Yes, Lord.
Chapter 3. Lord, you're a healer, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. My strong tower. Yeah. Lord, you are my strong tower. Lord, yeah, able and willing, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Would you stand for the word and be prepared to stand on the word? To all the ministers of the gospel and to officer members of this body, to all of you, our Father's children, you are not here by accident today. Glory to God. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. We find written in God's word. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. God's word is indeed blessed. On your way to your seat, if you would do me a favor and help me preach this sermon, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, there is help for the hurting. Amen. Give God praise. There is help for the hurting. I receive that, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that there is help for the hurting. You can't receive help today unless you are honest about your hurt. There it is right there. Until you are honest with yourself and take off the mask and take off the suit, take off the robe, take off the position, take off the money, take off the status, take off with the expectations, take off children, take off spouse, take off church folk, take off what people think, take off pride, take off arrogance. When I take all that off and I'm honest with myself, I ought to be able to admit that I'm hurting. Child of God, there's nothing wrong today with you if you're hurting. Something that you must be honest that you may have caused on your own. Some of the hurts that we are experiencing are some things that we did cause. We put them in the atmosphere. And scripture's got to be scripture. Otherwise, we have to reap what we sow. But there are others of us who have some things going on in our lives. We don't know how it got there. We don't know where it came from. And we don't even know why it's happening to me. You've got to be able to be honest and say, Lord, I'm hurting. All of us this morning, brothers and sisters, are dealing with one thing or another. I don't have time today to look down my nose at anyone else or point fingers at someone else's issue. Because if I check my closet, if I check my car, if I check my kitchen, I check my house, I'll find some issues, some stuff that's not the way that it should be. Too many of us are not honest about our problems, not honest about what's going on, because we want people to think that everything is all right. We want people to think that we are the ones who have the answer. We want people to think that we got I's dotted and T's crossed. But I challenge you today to hear from God as God challenges your heart and talks to your heart, because God today wants to talk to the church and he wants to talk to the worldly folk who are hiding in the church. Amen. And he wants to talk to the church, his people who've already declared him. He wants to also talk to those of us who have not yet made a declaration, but we're in the church. He does say to us today, there is help for hurting people. In our text today, brothers and sisters, we are in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit has come. In chapter 2, the day of Pentecost has come. Spirit been poured down upon those that believe. They're speaking in new tongues. Signs and wonders are being able to be done by the apostles.
They're able to start church. They're breaking bread. They're sharing one with another, those who believe in the household of faith. Everything that Jesus said they were going to be able to do, they're able to do. He has given them preaching power. All they know at this point is to share Jesus. They don't know 3 points, introduction, 3 points, and a closure. All they know is what they saw Jesus do. They said that we are all witnesses. He said, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, I don't want you to worry about what you know. I want you to worry about what you've seen and what you can experience for yourself. Child of God, I want to tell you today to encourage yourself that if nothing else going right for you now, I want you to thank God for what he's already done. The thing that you've already experienced, the blessing he's already given you, the provision you're already enjoying, the healing you've already taken place. Somebody sometimes ought to thank God for what he's already done, what I already see. I can look back over my life and I can see how far my God has brought me. I am not yet where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Is there anybody else in this house who can thank God for what he's done already? We ought to be a witness in the world to tell the folk that no, my life is not perfect. Yes, I do have some pains. Yes, I do have some struggles, but one thing I do know, Jesus will fix it after a while. Glory to God. We find them in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, they are breaking bread. They are sharing. Any money they have, they sold their possessions to be able to share one with another. The goal of the church at this point, the New Testament church, is to make everybody equal. Is to make everybody be on a level playing field. That's what's wrong with the church today. We're trying to sit up in God's house and have a little social club. We want to have the haves from the have-nots, the big-timers from the little-timers, the married from the single, the divorced from the widowed, the black from the white, the Pentecostal to the Baptist, Baptist to the Methodist. We all messed up. God says we are equal. You may have been a witness from 10 years ago, and I may be a witness of 10 minutes, but your 10 years don't make you no better than my 10 minutes because I belong to God. There is help for hurting people. We find ourselves, brethren, in chapter 3. We find this man who is being brought to the temple. Here we have church folks who are experiencing, who have experienced the great day of Pentecost. They're experiencing the power of God. They are seeing signs and wonders are falling them, but they feel like because they're not the apostles, they're not responsible. Here it is, we find a man who was born lame from his birth. From his mother's womb, he is born lame. And Acts chapter 4 will tell you that this man has been like, he's over 40 years old. He's lived 40 plus years lame. But the text tells us that he has been brought to the gate of the temple every day. Y'all gonna give me time to minister? I know you got to go, but let me minister just for a second. He has been brought because he can't get there himself. He is being brought to the gate of the temple. Thousands of people are passing this way because at the temple that was rebuilt by King Herod some 40 plus years prior has been rebuilt by Herod. It has several gates and several courts within those gates. And every gate, everybody couldn't go in. There were some gates that were designated for only Jews. To get to the main temple, only priests could get to the main temple. But in some courts, there were courts of women, there were courts of the Greeks, there were courts of the Gentiles, there were courts of the church, there were the gates of the ones who had money, it was the gates of those who didn't have money. And so God, through his own providence, so had it set that the people brought him to this gate, which is called Nicanor. This gate called Nicanor is also known as the Gate Beautiful. The name of the gate is not beautiful, that's how it looked. It is not called beautiful, it was called Nicanor. It was on the east side of the temple. But this is the one that had the court of women and had the court of the Gentiles. In other words, you got the most traffic going this way. Y'all miss me already. This way, everybody passing by going to church. Now, What made this gate beautiful, what made it so significant from all the other gates, is that the other gates were gold and silver. They were adorned like that, simple. But the beautiful gate was adorned in bronze, which made it stand out from all the other gates. It had a particular luster and a shine to it. Oh, Lord. Here it is, a gate and a temple and a court that you got all pretty, and it's supposed to be for everybody, but you're passing by the ones who's supposed to be going in with you. Now, just because, here it is, the text says it's a certain man. This does not mean that there were not other beggars and lame folk laying by the wayside. This is just the only one who God deals with at this particular moment. That's what the church is today. There are several of us in this house who are in the same shape as this lame man. And many of you have not yet come into the court. You hanging around at the gate. You've been brought here by circumstance. Because the people that you used to depend on, they're done with you, and they done brought you to the gate because they tired of trying to help you. You used to could do it good, but now what you used to could do ain't working for you. Ain't nowhere else left for you to go now but the gate. Lord have mercy. I'm glad we praised God earlier. That's why some of us have the attitudes that we have, and I'm learning not to get upset about that, because you really just don't know any better. You've been like this 40 plus years, some of y'all. You've been lame from your birth. All of us were born lame. All of us were born messed up. And here's what the church, say church, this is what the church has got to understand, that there are people who are dealing with more stuff than a position in the church. They got more problems than to worry about it, that you the president or not. If they need to come see you. Well, I'm the pastor, they ain't come to me. I'm the chairman of deacons, all men supposed to come through me. These people are dealing with more issues than your position. And that's why the church got to get off its high horse and forget about what you think you are and really be about what the church is supposed to be about, and that's drawing lost souls into the family of God. Some of my leaders this morning ain't praising God. Some of the folks who know God won't give him glory because you so hung up on what's going on in the temple that you done forgot about what's supposed to go on outside the temple. You worrying about how shiny your brass is, worrying about how big your robe is, worrying about how tough you are, and you done forgot about God bringing you in. But even with all that, there's still help for hurting people. Look here, this man is lame. And because he's begging for alms, or he's asking for money, he's also lacking. But may I suggest to you today that his bigger problem is not the fact that he's lame. It's not the fact that he's lacking. The problem he's having is that he's been left out. Here he is at the gate of the temple of the Most High God. And he's been lame every day and nobody talked to him. He's been lacking every day and everybody give him a little bit and go on about their business. But nobody stops and takes the time and share with his brother and see what the root of his problem is. Anything I can do beyond right now. So he's been left out. And there are some of you in this house today, I must apologize to you. You've been needing help from the church. You've been needing blessings from the church. You've been needing support from the church. But we've been so busy doing what we want to do, worrying about a nail and worrying about a 2x4 and worrying about a position and worrying about some chicken and worrying about who going to pay for it, worrying about who going to sign a check, and we missing about the whole mission of God's church. And we done left you out. But I come with some Holy Ghost happy good news for you today, child of God, that I want you to start looking past us, because we're just as messed up as you are. I want you to see Jesus today, and I want you to know that today is your day. I dare you to keep hanging around the gate.
Today just may be your day to receive what you need from God. God comes today to bless you. God comes today to give you what you need. Don't look at me for it. Lift your eyes into the hills from which coming your help. Hey! Let me tell some of you deacons something. You've been fired already. Let me tell some of you ministers something. You've been fired already because your mind ain't on ministry. Your mind is on me. And God says you have been fired. You think you slick. You think you getting over. God said the jig is up. You're going to keep showing up. Everything you touch will not prosper because your mind ain't right. You can't do ministry unless you in charge. It can't work unless you there. Creating your own ministries within a ministry. Your own church within a church. Your own Bible study within a Bible study. You've been fired. Because you've been leaving people out. A 110 years of ministry. And you keep leaving people out, trying to hold on to your position. Hold on to your spot. And God said they're hurting people all around you. And you passing by the church, getting to a building. I give you what you need when you get in the building. You don't even use what I give you in the building. You pass by the need once again. Listen, the time of this text in the day, at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., there were three times of prayer in the temple, 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m. I don't know when they brought him. All I know is they bring him every day. And it's a shame that the 9 o'clock crowd don't pay him no attention. That's those of you old saints. 12 o'clock crowd, don't pay them no attention. That's you new age baby boomers. Who worry more about bylaws and motions and seconds. Dress code and doing what I say. But thank God for a 3 o'clock hour. Thank God for the after school special. Well, God has given birth to a newness in his church. And some of you 9 o'clock saints about to be fired because you won't go along with God's program. Some of you noonday saints about to be fired. It's one thing if you not go do anything to help, but it's another thing to be under the auspices that you do care and don't. I'd rather you stop showing up, pretending to care, than to come here under the assumption that you do care. And then when it's time to do ministry, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a certain man. It's a certain day. Thank God for certain days. And certain people. I thank God that he has come on a certain day in my life and touched me with a certain anointing. If it had been up to some of y'all, I never would have got it. But I thank God for his providence. Well, he does it not because he goes beyond these principalities. He goes beyond all these systems. He goes beyond the program and just mess around and do what he want to do. Anybody else in this house who know you've been blessed just because God wanted to? If it was up to the folk in the church, you never get better. You never get stronger. You never be healed. But thank God he goes beyond. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he goes beyond majority vote.
I thank God that he operate his world like a theocracy as opposed to a democracy. See, democracy is the will of the people, but in a theocracy is the will of the Father. Yeah. Yeah. And some of y'all church folk can't figure out how God moving for something you ain't vote for. This ain't something you endorse. This ain't something you showed up for. And God still did it anyhow. It's because we under the theocracy. And in this situation, your vote don't count. Yeah. It just so happens that in Acts chapter 3, this lame man encounters two broke preachers. The preachers are in worse shape financially than the folk going to church. If I had time, I'd deal with that, but y'all showing up ain't ready for that. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know you called by God when even though you keep showing up, do his work, and you ain't got a dime in your pocket. All I got is the gospel. All I got is the good news. All I got is his salvation. That's all I got. Because if I depend on what y'all pay me, I'd die. If I depended on y'all, I wouldn't make it. But I'm like Paul. I live by the gospel. I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Hey. I can identify with Peter and John, two broke preachers, but they still come and do ministry. That's why, a child of God, don't let circumstances cause you to not do ministry. Because look what happens. Peter and John don't have money, and they connect with somebody else ain't got no money. See, y'all done let society and Facebook and Twitter tell you that preachers are all after your money. If I was after that, you'd have my letter of resignation a long time ago. But have anybody learned yet that the true preacher is after your soul as opposed to your money? My God, my Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. There's something to be said for Peter and John. Because look, in chapter 2, scripture tells you that they helped lead it. They sold their possessions and distributed it. Then they went to the church. Some of y'all try to go to the church to get money. And then when you get it, you don't distribute it. That's why I can't let you be all right. We just come here to get a financial increase, and that's it. If you're not sowing, you're not going to reap that. I cannot promise you financial increase and you ain't already sowing what God already done gave you. For me to sit and tell you to turn around and turn a flip, and when you get home, $1,000 going to be there. I'm lying to you. There is a principle. I know the Bible is right, and somebody is wrong. If I had some coaching folks, I'd go there today. And see, many of us have come And that's why I need you to keep hanging around. Tell your neighbor, keep hanging around. Because you're going to come in contact with the right kind of folk who going to really tell you what ministry and life with God is all about. Stop coming here thinking it's going to get, you're going to look better, feel better. It's about coming here and getting better. But I don't want you to give up just because you don't get what you want. I want you to keep on hanging around. Because I promise you, if you keep hanging around, just as this lame man in the text, you're going to get more than you bargained for. Well, let me go and get through. Y'all mad now. Now, I got a question. Who keep bringing this man to the gate and leave him? It could be worldly folk bringing him, and it could actually be church folk bringing him and just leave him at the gate while they going in the court. Because you don't want the church to know who you hang with. Oh, Lord. Some of us are hanging with lame folk. You don't want the lame to come in with you because you're supposed to represent power. But you messed around and got a lame uncle that you don't want to. You got a lame husband, a lame wife. You're hurting. And you come here and do all this church work and you go right back to that hurt and you pick that hurt up and go back home with it. Next day, I got to get back to the church. Let me drop this hurt off here at the gate. Let me say this to you. Not only is this Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's so serious we need to deal with that, but it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And that is a problem that's plaguing the body of Christ. It's a lot of you brothers who are putting your hands on your wife and you ain't adoring her either. You putting your hands on her, you talking about her like she a dog, that's the same thing as domestic violence. Sisters, you condemning and talking down and cussing out your husband, that is domestic violence. And that's why some of y'all come to here hurting because you've been told that you ain't nothing on your way to church. And you try to drop off that hurt at the gate. Some of y'all, if we were to know how miserable you really are at home, you think we would sit you down. You're doing everything you can to hide how hurt you are at home. He don't come home. He talk to you like you nothing. Choking you out because he mad. And the sad part about it is you defending him. You don't want to say that this he's just lame. He need help from God. You want to say, well, that's just men. That's just how women are. Oh, preacher, you done got in trouble now. And those are issues, those are hurts that the church needs to be ready to address. We need to have a domestic violence hotline and domestic violence prayer line so we can help our brothers and sisters who are dealing with hell at home. She ain't just taking time off from church. She got two black eyes. And now ministry suffers and you can't give God praise and glory because you're so full of the hurt. So God better be glad I even showed up because I don't feel it. How can you listen to God tell you that you're the head and not the tail and you're blessed and you're an overcomer and you've been told by the one you gave your life to that you are B-I-T-C-H? Y'all don't want to hear God today because you know what you're going to hear this evening. Those are real hurts. Domestic violence is more than him beating you and more than you beating him. It's some of the words we say. And domestic goes beyond husband and wife. It involves children. A lot of our young people right now can't hold their head up. Can't walk with their chest out. Because mama and daddy done talked so bad about them. And the church needs to be ready. We got to stop passing by this. We got to stop passing by. We're going to have a good time worrying about our brass, shining that up. And what good is it for you for your court and your temple to look good and your gates still messed up? So all this man knows is to keep showing up begging. That's all he knows. That's all he's programmed to do. 40 plus years, keep showing up begging. But thank God for Peter and John, who show up out of their own lack. They still show up to the house of the Lord because they know that there's help for hurting people, because they've been persecuted. They've been through some stuff with Jesus. And so they are a witness that Jesus will save you and provide for you. They done been through storms with Jesus. They done seen sickness with Jesus. They done seen lack with Jesus. They done seen Jesus feed a multitude. So they know for a fact what Jesus can do with or without money. So he show up to prayer. This man notices Peter and John because, first of all, he assumed that because they preachers, they got it. Because they're affiliated with the church, they got it. But I know it breaks your heart to find out church folk got to pay bills too. I tried to tell Energy when they sent that bill to me in the mail the other day. I tried, be thou removed. Mountain, be thou removed. Open up that envelope, it was still there. And if I go the next 28 days, speaking to that mountain, it's not going to be the glory cloud making my house dark. The glory in the house. No, you ain't paid your bill. And that's what we need to learn to do as Christians, show the world that I'm a person. Stop making the gospel be so unattainable. Because you know, Peter, that you denied him 3 times. John, you know you always want to fight. You always want to cut somebody. That's just like this lame man you done passed by. See, that's what's wrong with some of you saints. Y'all don't want to pass by what's still in you. You don't want to deal with the stuff that you still want to do. And do. You just leave it at the gate. Oh. At least some of them got enough respect not to go into the court with their stuff. Some of y'all low down and come on in the courts with it. But there is help for the hurting people. How can we get help? What help do we get, preacher? Yeah, you established that we're hurting. I understand that I can't praise God. You finally figured it out, preacher. I can't praise God because I got so much going on. I ain't gonna lift no hands because I don't see the point. And now, preacher, you finally realize that the church needs to understand some of these issues. But I want you, child of God, to get past the problems you got with us and realize whose gate you at. I don't care what you think about us and what we done said, we don't own the gate. We don't own the court and we don't own the temple. Can I park just real quick? I'm gonna keep on going. Just call.